I count it a great privilege to be in the meeting again this year, to be with all the dear ones from near and far. We've got a lot to be thankful for. The grace of God has been with us this past year since we were here in the meeting, and we're thankful for His goodness to us. I have a very solemn, serious message on my heart. Father, you know how this weighs upon our spirits. Lord, we ask that you would anoint our hearts, each one of us, that we might be able to comprehend your mind and your thoughts and your precious will. We pray you bless our young people, our children. Lord, help them to be able to understand this message. It's a solemn, serious thought. So, Lord, help us, we pray, and we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to talk about a wonderful privilege and blessing that God has given to every one of us. And that is the ability and the power to talk, to speak, to communicate. You know, we kind of take it for granted. But when you get to thinking about it, now here I am, I'm standing up here, I am speaking words, language, expressions, statements, convictions, and mainly from God's Word. He has communicated with us. Isn't that a wonderful thing that you can communicate with your brother and sister, your husband or your wife, that you can express yourself? That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful blessing, and I've fear that sometimes we as human beings just take it for granted and think it's our power, we can do with it what we want to do with it. But, dear ones, we have some scriptures that we want to bring to our mind that will help us to be more careful, more diligent, more earnest in our purpose to control the tongue and our words. I want to go to Psalm 39 and read part of it there. May the Lord help us. It's a serious thought, this power of speech, power of talking. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. You know, that is a very important decision for every one of us to make. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. Bridle, something that you control a horse. You control the horse with the bridle and in his teeth, and you can control that animal. And that's our tongue must be controlled. What we say, how we say it, and what the purpose is back of it, we must be very diligent to have it in bridle and tongue controlled. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. You've got to watch what you say, how you say it, and what is the purpose back of what you say. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good. You know, this is something we ought to It's a decision we can have. We should have each one of us in our hearts. I'm going to be careful what I say. My heart, my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. I'm not saying, I just won't say, but while I was musing and while I was being quiet, the fire burned in my heart and mind. Fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, dear ones, we need the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our conversation. It isn't just you say what you think you want to say, and you say what you feel, but you have to be careful. Weigh your words before you say them. What he says here, my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Now, what's he going to say? Well, let's read it. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. That's what he said. It was a turn into a prayer, not just an expression, not just a bunch of words, but an earnest prayer. Lord, make me to know my end. You know, we need to realize we are mortals and we're going to die and leave this world one of these days. You young people, you might not even think much about it. You might not even consider the thought you're going to die one of these, but you need to. Instead of joking and cursing and swearing and using your tongue for things that are improper and not good, we need to be using it in prayer. Lord, make me to sense and realize how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, as a little bitty bit of time. My days, they could be taken out today. I could be gone today. Something can happen to my heart, would just quit. It happens every day. Blood flowing through your veins. The heart can stop. The lungs breathing the air. Something can happen. Lord, help me to know my end. Help me to be ready to die. Ready to live and ready to die. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Therefore, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. At the very best that you can be and do and go and speak, you are vanity. You are soon going to be gone. And after death comes the judgment. We got some scriptures on that. Lord, help us. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. That's the truth. People just walking around, just making everybody think, I'm just somebody big and great. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who will gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes doth correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Now this is something we should say from our heart. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Oh, spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence to be no more. My tongue, we want it to be controlled. We want to speak as God would have us to speak. I want to go to the book of Proverbs. And I have several scriptures marked in my Bible. I didn't get them all marked, but one of the most often things said in the book of Psalms is about the tongue. And I want to read some of them. Proverbs 10 and 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. You know what a prating? Prating is a big talker. Did you know that there are people today that just talk? Have you ever run into anybody like that? I remember back in 1957, I was at Hammond, Louisiana camp meeting. And I was just sitting under the tabernacle one day and just kind of meditating and being alone there. And an old gentleman came and sat down by me. And he started in. I can't remember what his name was. That man talked and talked and talked and talked. In a little bit, one of the brethren walked up by me and he says, "You better get away from him. He'll keep you there for hours." Another brother told me later, he said, "I was determined one day," he said, "I thought I'd just let him talk and just see how long he would talk. I mean, talk. No stopping. No pausing. Just." And I can't remember one absolute thing that he said. But he was a talker. And this brother told me, he says, that man started on me and he said, "I determined to sit there and see how long he would talk." He said he talked for 2 hours. A prating fool shall fall. Verse 10. And that's another prating fool. Verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. In the lips of him that has understanding, wisdom is found. Verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. There's no lack of sin in a multitude of words. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is little worth. Verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness, pride, selfishness. All right, chapter 11 and verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. May the Lord help us. Chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie and wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. That's a difference, isn't it? Verse 13, chapter 12. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Why? How can he come out? Keeps his tongue in control. A man, now verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You know, you could use your tongue for good to help others, or you could use it for damaging and destruction. Verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Verse 25 of chapter 12. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Have you ever had someone that just spoke something to you and it was just what you needed? I've had that happen different times. I've had that happen as one of the saints. And maybe be in my mind, I'd be in a quarry in my mind about something, and somehow they realized I was needing some help, and they just spoke the word, and that just solved my problem. That's wonderful. All right, verse chapter 14 and 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Chapter 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You ever seen that? Verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Verse 23, chapter 15. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Isn't that truth? Oh, thank the Lord. Chapter 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I thank the Lord for the saints that I've known in my life that have spoken words of comfort, instruction, warning, and courage to my heart. I thank the Lord for that. And that's what I desire to do with all my heart and soul. I want to be what God wants us to be. Now I want to go to Ecclesiastes. The book, it's got to go back a little bit, don't we? Oh, may the Lord help us. Oh, watch our tongue. Watch what we say. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, starting at verse 1, just two or three verses here, so good. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not what they do evil. Keep your foot, keep your tongue, be more ready to hear when you go. Don't be so quick to speak up and say things. Now listen. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. God's in heaven and you're on earth. Don't be so quick to say something. Weigh your words sincerely, earnestly. Oh, may the Lord help us. Now I want to go to the New Testament. I'd like to read something our Lord Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew, in the 36th verse. I say unto you, this is what Jesus said. Well, let's read a little bit above that. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, listen, that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, what does that mean? Idle, of no value, not beneficial, not glorifying God, not helping someone else. Idle words. Every idle word that you speak, you'll be given account in the day of judgment. I remember my mother was a godly woman, and she wouldn't let us children use any idle words. If she drilled that in us, we would use those words. And then there was the awful habit that I knew of a neighbor of ours. He couldn't hardly say anything without a curse word. That was a terrible habit, and it wasn't just curse words. It was words with God's name in vain. And it wasn't only that, it was nasty, filthy language. It's the way he lived. You'd be around him. Everything he said, it had a curse word or something in it. Lord, have mercy. Every idle word that a man shall speak, you'll have to answer for that in the day of judgment. If you haven't got it under the blood and straightened up and got lined up like you should, then you're going to have to answer for all those words, all those dishonest, all those ungodly, all those idle words. Lord, help us. I want to notice a few places in the New Testament. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 4. Well, it had to read verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, or joking, or making fun, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. There you go. No filthiness, nor foolish talking, cracking jokes, saying things that don't make good sense, calling people by names. Awful. You know, people don't realize that talking is such a wonderful blessing and it's a wonderful privilege. They need to use it because it's going to come back on you the way you use your tongue. Colossians chapter 3, I believe it is, has something to say about it. Verse 8. Now also ye put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I've noticed that a lot of people, and I used to be that way before I was saved, I would use filthy language. I got a habit. I took a habit before I was saved of cursing and swearing. I had a bad temper. And I would say things and do things in anger. I remember one time my mother tried to deal with me, and I went out the door and slammed the door and just cursed. I had a terrible habit. Not too long before I got saved, this kind of helped me to realize I really needed to be saved. This is what I want to tell you happened. I was working out west of Guthrie for my uncle, Uncle Audney and Aunt Etta. I was working for them, and we were driving a tractor and pulling farm implements and, you know, just farm work, and I enjoyed it and all. One day I need to go out and hook one of the implements to one of the tractors. So I went out and I knew how to start the tractor up, and I was going to put the tractor and go back up to this implement. And so I backed up there, and then I got out and, oh, not right. So got back in and I tried and did it again. Oh, it's not right. And I cursed and swore. I used bad language. I didn't know anybody was around. I got back up and I backed in. And I, oh, no. Oh, yeah. I just cursed and swore. And all of a sudden, I looked over there and there was my cousin. He was older than me, several years older than me. I didn't know he was standing there. I was so ashamed of myself. He kind of walked up and said, oh, this is kind of hard on your religion, isn't it? Oh, I thought he heard me. I was so ashamed of myself. And I thank the Lord that I began to pray and ask God to help me and save my soul. It pays to watch our words. There's another one here. Let's see. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Lord, help us today. Let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, let's go to the third chapter of James and read a little bit about the tongue. Lord, help us today. We might have a great control of our tongue. My brethren, Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just a little matter can burn up a great big bunch. Just a little tongue can get out of order. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on the fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. You're going to have some help. Going to have some help from God. Tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. I want to close with, I wish I had the poem here, but I don't have it with me. You might have seen it in that book, Quests and Conquests. There's a poem in there called The First Settler's Story. How many of you have ever seen that book? If you don't have one, you ought to have one. We have one, and it's one of our treasures. But anyway, it has this story about a man and his wife that moved out into the out in the country, out west, on like pioneers. And him and his wife, and she was a sweet little woman, and they were very happy, seemed like, together. And they got a place to live out there, and they had some cattle. And so they were just real happy and getting along fine. Until one day, the man, he would go out in the woods, or the forest, and work and cutting up wood and tree limbs, you know, for fire, so forth. And he would work out there, and she would stay home and take care of things at home. Well, they had several cows, and somehow this day the cows got out and got over into the woods. And the man come in from his work, and he saw the cows. Oh, how? She said, I didn't watch, and they got away from me. Well, he didn't say anything, but it happened again, if I remember right. It happened again. He came home, and there the cows were out again. And he said, you ought to have kept the cows in view. You don't have anything else to do. And then he goes ahead to say, I worked so hard and come home, and here you just sitting around doing nothing and let the cows out. Anyway, he just bawled her out. Well, she didn't say anything, but he could tell that he had talked to her unwisely. But he didn't do anything about it at that time. And then the next day came, and when he got home again, she was not there. And there wasn't no cows. Cows weren't there either. But she left a little note. And on this note, she said, the cows got out again, dear, and I've gone to get them. And then she said something like this. Dear, if I've been a burden to you and sorrow to your heart, let old time memories make up for which I lack, and have kind words for me when I get back. Well, he looked and he saw she was gone. The cows were gone. He got his dog. He had a dog. He got his dog. He got her shawl, his wife's shawl that was laid over a chair, and held it up to the dog and says, let's get her, boy. They went out. They searched all night long for her. They couldn't find her. They didn't know. He didn't know what. He was felt so bad.
Brother Leslie, that was in a big storm.
That was a big storm, wasn't it? Oh, it was awful. Anyway, he searched. And when he finally got back, come back to the house as morning light came, he saw the cows were there. And he knew that she had got back with the cows. And so he ran to the door and run in. And it says, you're back. Yeah. She had come back, but she was gone. It went over and about over. She was dead. And he closed the poem. I think I memorized those last few lines. And this is said, at this is all he says, this is what I've learned. Boys flying kites haul in their white-winged birds. You can't do that when you're flying words. Be careful with fire is good advice, I know. Be careful with words is 10 times doubly so. Now let's see the last two lines. Words.
Thoughts unexpressed.
What?
Thoughts unexpressed may sometimes fall back dead.
Oh, yeah.
Thoughts
unexpressed may often fall back dead, but God Himself can't kill them once they're said. Lord, help us today.